Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. Jay Posner, Sports Editor, Union Tribune. Jay, a big move last night. It was a somewhat surprising move last night. The Padres had to pare down their roster. And I thought that it seemed obvious that Edward Olivares might go. I sort of saw Josh Naylor as being a candidate. He's been struggling. Joey Lucchesi, left-handed pitcher, the Padres' leader in starts over the past two seasons. Joey Lucchesi and Josh Naylor were sent to the alternate site. In another season, we would have said they were optioned to the player leagues. I've got my thoughts on this. Jay, what do you think this means?
Well, Kevin, you're the expert. I should be asking you the question. Okay. I mean, obviously, my read on it is they feel like Joey Lucchesi is not one of their five best starting pitchers right now. And if he's not going to start, then I'm not sure there's much of a reason to have him around. He hasn't been asked or proven that he can pitch out of the bullpen the way that someone like Cal Quantrill can. Although, as we saw, you know, Luis Patino did it the other night. So I'm not saying that Lucchesi couldn't do it. So, yeah, it was still surprising, but that was kind of my read on it. I figured they would just take one of the, you know, 32 ineffective relievers they've had so far and send one of them down. But a bit of a bold move a little bit. I don't know what it means long term for someone like Lucchesi, who's been, you know, look, let's be honest, he's been decent as a starter the last couple of years. He's pitched for bad teams. He's put together an ERA a little over four. You know, I would say he's been pretty much an average pitcher. But at this point, I'll set you up for this. It almost feels like they're saying, we got better guys than you, right?
That's exactly what it is. It's everything you said in terms of in the short term. And at Joey Lucchesi's time on the Padres was measured anyway. Look, there's a bunch of average pitchers. And I think Joey Lucchesi, if he can pitch like he has the past 2 years, will pitch in this league for 12 years as eight different teams' number five starter. You know, that's what he'll
left-handed,
do.
Left-handed and breathing, right? That's a,
big
bonus.
And, but the Padres believe that they have better coming and they have better here. And that's kind of always been the thought. Joey Lucchesi, Eric Lauer, they were good enough to make the teams the last couple of years because they were good enough to be near the top end of a bad rotation. And that's not the case anymore. So that was that move. It's like, okay, this makes all the sense in the world. It was early, but it still feels like a big move because they're moving on from Joey Lucchesi.
Well, they are. And yet, obviously, I mean, he's still at the alternate site. And
that's safe.
You know, he's an injury or a positive test or a false positive test or whatever from them needing him to pitch maybe one game, maybe five games. Who knows what could happen? I mean, I don't know that I'm necessarily closing the door on Joey Lucchesi at this point and saying he's never going to pitch again for the Padres. You know, if they need another starter, maybe it's him. Maybe it's Mackenzie Gore. I don't know. I mean, it might depend on how does Gore look at the alternate site. I mean, they obviously liked the way Patino was looking right now better. So, which is, I guess, a good segue into Luis Patino and what we saw against the Dodgers the other night. He made his debut. You know, Jace Tingler pretty much threw him into the deep end of the pool and said, here you go. Cody Bellinger's the first guy that you have to face in the big leagues, the NL MVP. He got him out, then ran into a little trouble, although I don't think either one of those singles necessarily was hit hard. But the Jock Peterson home run sure was. And look, he showed something, and this was talked about after the game. He showed something after that. I was surprised to see him come out for a second inning, but Tingler and the Padres obviously had their reason. They wanted to see if he could bounce back from it. And he did. He got a 1-2-3 inning against the top of the order. And I remember it made Max Muncy look kind of silly, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, it did. That was wow. He just finished the top of the order by doing that to Max Muncy. That was that was impressive. And it also brings up, because all of us had, holy smokes, they just scored two runs. It's a 4-2 game. And they're bringing in Luis Patino to face Cody Bellinger. And then you go, but look at the lineup. I mean, the Dave Roberts gets to pinch hit for his leadoff hitter every night if he wants to, because they're so deep. I mean, so when wasn't it going to be thrown into the fire against the Dodgers, unless it was going to be a blowout one way or the other? It was going to be that he was going to have to come in at least kind of a medium leverage situation, which he did. And it does show you, like the Joey Lucchese move, regardless of whether he comes back, this shows you that his time is measured. It shows you how much they think of Luis Patino, that they brought him up and that they put him in that situation.
Right. And now looking ahead to, and I don't want to get past this weekend just too much, but the way the rotation sets up, and they haven't made this official yet, but the way it sets up is Davies pitching tonight against Arizona, the opener of a three-game series at Petco. And then Garrett Richards indicated after the game the other night that, you know, we'll see you on Monday, which makes it sound like he's pitching Monday, which would put Paddock and Lamet on Saturday and Sunday. And then they're going to need a starter on Tuesday. And yep. I would think we're looking at either Quantrill with Patino piggybacking or Patino with Quantrill piggybacking. Does that make sense in terms
that makes all the sense in the world. And whether they set it up, like they say, well, this guy's starting and that's it. Or they say, this is how we're going to do it. You know,
right.
They did with Joey and Quantrill. I think that it's going to be whoever goes, and Patino would seem like the guy, go as long as he can. That
sure.
could be three
sure.
innings. That could be, you know, five. It could be one. We'll see. It's going to be like an opener situation. I think all along the thought in the organization was, let's give, in particular, they say our best five, but let's give our top three guys, Paddock, mm-hmm. Richards, let's give them as many starts as possible. So once they decided to use yesterday's off day as sort of, you know, to take that spot in the rotation and move Davies up, I think we knew that it was going to be Paddock, Lamet, Richards. But when Garrett said that, I'll see you Monday, I guess it's possible that he hadn't been talked to yet, but I'm pretty sure that that's how they were going to go all along. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't know that we'll see this all year, that they'll never get a fifth day. But for right now, you had the hot hand.
Well, and you've got 17 straight games starting tonight, so there's no options. You know, if they don't do it now, they're not going to do it for, you know, another 3 weeks. And by that point, you know, 3 weeks from now, we're almost into September. We're with a month. 3 weeks from now, there's a month to go in the season. So,
that's amazing.
You know, I know, but you know, and look, this is another big series. I mean, it's not the Dodgers, but you know, you can't let up against Arizona. You know, they're off to a sluggish start, but I thought going in to the season that they were a legitimate contender for the number two spot in the West. I still think they are. You know, tonight's starter Luke Weaver's had a rough go, but he showed last year he's a good pitcher. I think Kelly pitches tomorrow, and then you're back to Bumgarner on Sunday, who's also been a disappointment so far. But look, he pitched pretty well on opening day here, up until they finally got to him, you know, later in that game. So by no means can you just say, oh, well, it's Arizona, we can waltz through them and get a weekend sweep and then move on to the Dodgers. I mean, this is a weekend where they need to win at least two of these games.
They do. And Arizona's a dangerous lineup. I don't care what's happening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it also continues their run of 23 straight to start the season against the West. And so what you've got is, this is amazing. The Diamondbacks are back in town, then four against the Dodgers, who you just played, and then three in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. So
I know.
I'm so bored by the Diamondbacks.
And then we'll see the Diamondbacks again next in March. I mean, that's the next time they'll play the Diamondbacks, unless, I guess, somehow they were to meet in the postseason. Which doesn't seem likely, but it's just so weird that, you know, what is it, 10 of the first 20 games or something are against Arizona. But hey, that's what the schedule is, and they have to deal with it. And
it can be a good thing. If you get Arizona when they're struggling.
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing. When you're playing these teams, it's your hitters are going to see their pitchers and vice versa and all that stuff. But also, sometimes you run into a team when they are super hot. Certainly seems like the Padres in all these years have been running into teams when they're hot, or maybe it's a cause and effect thing.
Maybe that's a little bit of it too.
Yeah, but you know, you're going to run into a team when they're not hot, and you got to take advantage of it. Look, we talked about it before, this run of 13 games, 2 weeks playing two opponents. It wasn't that they needed to go out and, you know, show it to the Dodgers. That would be great. they need to, in these, what is it, 7 games, go 3-4 or 4-3 against the Dodgers, win the series against the Diamondbacks, and then you've got a little bit of a lull in the schedule, or what would seem to be a little lull in the schedule, with the Rangers for four. You need to get to this second month. You need to get through your first 30 games at about 500 at least. Because you know what? 33 wins is going to get you into the playoffs.
Yeah, and it might not even take that many.
That's true.
I'm sure that's a good place to shoot for. But what else did we see in the Dodger series that we should address? I mean, the bullpen was a disappointment a little bit again, and failing to take advantage of some opportunities. A little bit of sloppiness on defense cost him a couple runs in the one game. So it's just like the little things. And again, the Dodgers are a team, they're good enough to overcome some mistakes. They're good enough to overcome a terrible outing by their closer the other night, because they find a way to make plays. And Chris Taylor, made a great throw to get Grisham at the plate and keep the game from going, at least continuing, and maybe into extra innings, or maybe the Padres could have found a way to win it in the ninth. But the Dodgers seem to be able to, are good enough where they can overcome the little things that go wrong. The Padres are not at that point. And so, which means they need to stop doing some of these little things wrong, I think, at this right now.
So, and that was Jace Tingler's message. And it's been his message going in, to his credit, and his message coming out was, if we could make these little plays, if Manny could get his uniform dirty on one play, if Trent Grisham could catch a ball that looked really tough, but that was absolutely catchable, come through on a few more scoring opportunities. Well, the little things, I think, sometimes are kind of big things if you can't do them, all the time, most of the time, because no one's perfect. Yeah. I saw a lot coming out of this series, and I don't want to be a rain on anybody's parade, and maybe you've noticed my coverage has a little bit different tone this year, which is, you contenders, well, I'm going to hold you to that, versus the last couple of years where I know you're not very good. So even when you're 42-40, I'm not really holding you to this incredible standard. This year, I saw a lot coming out of this, like, hey, they showed they could at least play with them. Okay. Guess what? Last year when the Dodgers came to Petco Park for the first time and Hunter Renfroe hit the walk-off after 2 games that the Padres had lost after leading in the 7th inning, it was like, hey, they showed they can play with them.
Right.
No, they didn't play well enough to beat the Dodgers this year. And I think it's bigger than the little things, or else the little things are bigger than we're giving them credit for. I just think that it's pretty clear that they're far away. Now, I want to point out that first game, Jay, and you and I were texting about this, their 8 and 9 hitters were kind of the heroes of the game, right? Well,
yeah.
The Dodgers, their 8 and 9 hitters might hit leadoff in second the next night. So it's a completely different deal. But those guys hadn't been hitting very well. They had a good game. So we don't want to take it out of context.
Mm-hmm.
But when are you going to count on the Padres' 8 and 9 hitters to actually win a game for you? Now, I guess that night Austin Hedges did have the game-winning RBI.
But no.
It was 2-3.
In general, that's what we've talked about. I mean, they started that night with, I think it was Almonte, Hedges, and Profar hitting 7, 8, and 9. That's a team, to me, that's a team, and I'm not going to say that Jerickson Profar is a bad player, because he's had 37 at-bats or something like that as a Padre. He's obviously not showing as well as he has in the past, and they need more from him. Excuse me. But the Padres lineup, certainly, top to bottom, is not as good as the Dodger lineup, or as good as some other lineups as well. Probably, Colorado's lineup, for instance. So that's why, these things might, you said little things turn into big things, and I think, or bigger than little things. And I think that's true. And they're especially bigger things when you don't have a margin for error. And if the Padres are still, if Manny Machado is not going to become Manny Machado, or at least the Manny Machado that, got this $300 million contract, then the Padres are going to need other guys to do something. What they really need is Manny Machado to have to be better than he's been so far. And they need, they need Eric Hosmer to come back and produce. Look, they've gotten some good stuff out of Will Myers, which you never know what you're going to get out of Myers, but so far it's been pretty good. Tommy Pham overcame a little bit of a slow start and has been pretty good. He chased one terrible pitch in a big situation the other night that you wouldn't expect to see, but they failed to get a run in the other night, you know, a couple times where you needed just that one run to get in and it would have changed things. So they need more production from people.
It happens. So I don't want to read way too much into it, but Tommy Pham got Padres disease. What Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado did a lot last year. No one else in this lineup's going to do it. So I've got to make something happen in this at bat. Right. That's not Tommy Pham. I mean, Tommy Pham doesn't chase that pitch, and he did. Now, I'm not saying that it was all because of, you know, the lineup stinks, because this is a tough game that will chase pitches. But he's done that a couple times in crucial situations, and we've seen it year after year after year. We haven't mentioned it would be terrible to waste this good run by Will Myers. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is amazing if somebody has a choice.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like we talk about all these guys and they need more and they've gotten this from this. The guy at the top of the order has just been incredible. And not so much defensively so far, just it doesn't seem like the opportunities for the spectacular have really been
there. He hasn't made a terrible play.
He has not made a terrible play. Wouldn't say he's had the opportunity to do things spectacular. But offensively, he's just been tremendous. And not just the home run the other night, which was just something – you know, you just have to look at it and go, wow, it's about all you could say about that. But for a guy his age to be that good at this point, I mean, I think, and you wrote about this in the newsletter today, and I'm guessing you get a lot of comments about this, you know, when are they going to sign him to a long-term deal? When are they going to sign him? Why don't we just enjoy what we have right now? And he's in his second year. You know, he's not going anywhere for a while. So let's enjoy being able to watch this guy right now. You know, let's hope that they get a full season, you know, even at 60 games out of him and you know, and out of everybody, that the people don't get injured or sick or anything like that. But I think, you know, stop worrying about what's going to happen 3 or 4 years from now. And instead, you know, look, we had a lot of years in this town watching this team where there was no one that you could look forward to. And now they've got a few guys, but to me, there's no one more interesting and fascinating and exciting to watch right now than Tatis. So I'm going to enjoy each time he comes up to the plate, because you just don't know what's going to happen.
So going forward for me, Jay, the number one issue is Manny Machado. And here's why I say that. Well, because you could talk about, oh, the bullpen needs to be better. The starters need to keep pitching like they are, maybe even a little bit better, go deeper into games, right? Mm-hmm. And you could talk about everything. But all those things could be going well. And if Manny is a hole in the lineup, not a Austin Hedges size hole, and I don't say that to pick on Austin, but that's how it's happening right now, or a Jerks approach, whatever. But if Manny is hitting 200, which he is, the best thing he's doing is being selective and getting some walks, but you're not paying $30 million for that or whatever it is, 11.1 this year. That to me, if the Padres are going to be contenders, Manny Machado has to pick it up big time.
Either that or Jake Cronenworth is going to have to find a way to get up to the plate more often or something.
I'm not saying he can't, because it's kind of amazing, but let's be real.
I know. Another guy we should mention that's off to a great start. Are you still expecting Hosmer back tomorrow? Is that still the idea?
I was remiss to not check on that yesterday. And so I guess we'll see if he's working out. And if he's working out and he was able to put together successive days of doing that and, you know, being healthy, keeping the food down, then yes. And they felt that there had been something of a corner turned today's Friday. So let me work backward. They felt something, a corner had been turned on Wednesday. So, but of course, you know, this thing's really flared up on him before. I mean, it's been just such a tricky deal that I'll be very interested to see when I get to the park today.
So do we see Cronenworth, assuming Hosmer comes back, do we see Cronenworth as a DH? Do we see him go to second base and play in the field? I mean, I don't know much about him defensively at second base, although he sure remembered how to play first base from his college days pretty well.
Yeah, and I think he transferred over whatever he does up the middle over to first base. So I think that you're going to see him at second, but you could also see him at DH. They've liked what Profar has done there, and they're going to continue, it seems to me, to give Profar a chance to work out of this. He has seen the second most pitches per at bat. They're pleased with his at bats. He just not, you know, get hits, which he has to. So here's something. They're going to stay at 28 players. Some of these guys just aren't going to play, you know?
Right.
These people stay healthy, I should say. Some of these guys just aren't going to play. And so gosh, this is weird. Greg Garcia, he's going to become a pinch hitting specialist, which is fine because Jake Cronenworth is also a left-handed hitter. So he's going to take those starts. They say that Jake Cronenworth is not a big split guy. We don't know, do we, in the majors? So I'm not sure.
Right.
Jace Tingler seemed to indicate that he would also start against lefties. I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, if Cronenworth does, if he cools off, then you can always go back to Garcia. I mean, that's a great guy to have around. And whether he doesn't start quite as many games, I think Greg Garcia is going to end up with having.
I'm just thinking of like a Ty France. When's the next time we're going to see Ty France? They're just not enough. Edward Olivares. Not enough playing time. And that is something where some teams were actually looking forward to getting down to 26 and getting into a rhythm. But, not everybody's as fortunate as the Padres right now. There've been a lot of injuries and you may have heard a lot of game postponements. I don't know if you saw that schedule that came out yesterday. Some of these teams, holy smokes. The Padres have an easy August because they're playing so much an easy September because they're playing so much in July and August. Oh my gosh, some of these teams got like 40 games in September.
I know. It's going to be crazy if they can pull this off. I'm going to come out and see a game this weekend, though. I'm going to come bother you. And
you're going to see Paddock Day, I think.
Sneak up with my mask and watch hopefully a Paddock Day.
Sit 6 feet from me. Okay.
At least six feet. So I'll come out and look forward to taking in a game in person, seeing what the atmosphere is like. I'm really eager to sort of experience something different.
You know what, Jay? I'll be interested when you. I know you watch as much on TV as anyone. I'll be interested to hear your take. There is no. You can get lost in the game and forget the fans aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Moments where it is so surreal and almost sad, like the Tatis home run. Man, right. I love for all those people to have been there and just gone nuts. I do think the players are feeling it, the relievers. I think the outfielders are feeling it, be it sight lines, be it they're not being yelled at. it's a really weird. I feel very fortunate to be one of the few people to be able to watch it, and I'll be interested for your take.
Yeah, and the outfielders are sort of, really out there by themselves. I mean, they're so far from home plate and everything, and there's no people around them other than, I guess, the bullpens. Maybe they need some of the relievers to start heckling them.
I need to ask Will Myers, who at times has been prone to maybe some concentration lapses.
Right.
What is he doing out there in right field to stay engaged? He's been one of their steadier outfielders, made some fantastic throws, and I think Wayne Kirby's done a really good job with them. But I know that I'd be out there. I don't know what. I'd lose focus. You know that, Jay.
I know, just sort of wandering around. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't missed the fans all that much on TV. I can't say that I'm like at rapt attention all the time. I'll try to pay a little more attention tonight. I mean, I enjoy, as I've said many times, I really enjoy listening to Don Orsillo and Mark Grant on the broadcast. I think they have the right mix of baseball and fun and the one or two times every night where Orsillo just cracks himself up. Or Mark cracks himself up, it makes it all worth it. And they do a great job calling the game as well. So I pay more attention to what they're saying and just don't really pay attention all that much to the crowd noise. To me, it's only noticeable when it's like overdone. Occasionally you get something where it's like, whoa, where did that noise come from? But that's why I said I can't wait to see what it's like, in person.
Well, I look forward to seeing you, Jay.
Everybody
know.
I'm sorry.
Padres, who do they play this weekend? Oh, the Diamondbacks. Yeah, okay.
That's right. And who's next week? Oh, wait, it's the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. So we will, everyone enjoy your weekend and stay safe. And we will talk to you again on Monday morning.